Thanks, Sean said, and shaking hands with Anthony, he went back up to his office. Sean. Sean sighed and dropped his head. Now what? He asked.
There's a couple of wolves downstairs that want to join us, Oak told him. I think you need to come down and see them.
Why? Sean sighed.
Cause they've still got their silver pellets in them.
Oh, shit, Sean said, and jumping out of his chair, he scooped up two of the necklaces they'd made last night and bolted for the stairs. If there was one thing Sean was impressed by, that he'd gotten from his lion, it was his ability to run his ass off while dodging people, cutting corners, and going downstairs full tilt, and all without falling flat on his face. Only Roxy did it better, but then she actually ran up along the walls as she did it.
Put these on,
he said, as he slid to a stop before a couple who looked to be in their early 40s.
What?
The man said as Sean tossed them the collars.
Now,
Sean growled. Both of their eyes got wide, but they did as they were told, and Sean pulled off his silver tag, and putting the fingers of the woman around it, he clipped it to her collar. Oak was doing the same with the man.
What does this...
The man started, then gasped in pain, his body going rigid.
It gets rid of silver, Sean said, grabbing the woman by the shoulders so she wouldn't collapse. Now, why are you here? Hell, how are you here?
The woman was the first to recover, mainly because he put the tag on her before Oak had on the man.
We heard about you from the boys in the shop when we brought our master's car in to be cleaned.
Does he know where you are? Sean asked.
No, he just sent us out to do the shopping and get his car cleaned for tonight.
Sean turned to Oak. Have someone drop the car off at the house. Make sure no one knows it was here.
Why bring it back? Oak asked.
Because keeping it would be stealing and I don't want to get involved with Grand Theft Auto.
But isn't taking us stealing?
The woman asked. Sean sighed and rolled his eyes. He was doing a lot of that lately, he realized.
Your people. Slavery is illegal. I'm setting you free. If you want to join my pack here, or any of the other packs in the state, or even go back to working for your former master, that's up to you.
Oh, fuck that, she laughed. No way I'm going back there. Right, Eddie?
Oh, definitely not, Margie, Eddie said with a grin.
Wow, free? Who'd have thunk it would ever happen to us?
I need that tag back, Sean said, pointing to his tag on Margie's neck.
You can keep the collar.
Turning back to Oak, he continued.
Figure out what to do with them. I need to get back to work.
Taking his tag back, Sean went upstairs to finish up on the spell details for the simpler machine that he'd been working on.
Sean?
What?
He growled, looking up.
Jeez, what's gotten into you?
Dalen growled back at him. Sean sighed.
Sorry, hon. Been a long day.
I got your plate done,
Dalen said, and handed him a box.
That quick?
Sean blinked.
Quick? It's 8 o'clock.
Sean blinked and looked around.
Where's Rox and Joe?
Downstairs, getting you some dinner.
Sean looked at his notes. Gathering them up, he put them in the box with the plate. Sure enough, it was gold, and it was 10 inches in diameter. Nicely made, too.
We're going to the Sorcerer's Guild, he told Dalen.
Why?
Cause the only thing people want from me there is my body, Sean growled. Plus, they have a workshop I can borrow while I wait for your folks to finish mine.
Aw, you just want to bang Roberta again,
Dalen laughed.
Yeah, that too, Sean grinned.
Now, let's grab the other two, borrow a car, and get out of here before somebody asks me to take care of another problem for them.
After dinner,
Dalen said, shaking a finger in front of his nose.
You're not the only one that's hungry.
How do you know I'm hungry?
Because you're cranky when you're hungry.
I'm not cranky, Sean protested.
Sure sounds like it from here,
Roxy called out, as she and Jolene entered the room with dinner.
Okay, food first. Then we're out of here for a while. Someone tell Oak he gets to deal with things until we get back.
The devil you know. Harkins looked down the table at the senior leadership of the local Council of the Ascendants. There were now 11 people in the council's senior leadership coven, not counting him. The last several weeks had been brutal. A number of people had actually packed up and left Reno in the last few days, a result of the infighting that had been taking place, as three members of the old council had tried to usurp his position. All three of them were now dead, of course. Harkins had been forced to flood the council seats with people whose loyalty was beyond reproach. So where there had traditionally been 9 on the council, he'd replaced the 4 empty seats, 1 for Rosen and 3 for the now-deceased challengers, with 7 new members. That left him with only 4 members from before the challenge to his leadership, 3 of whom he knew he could count on, or he wouldn't be here now. The 4th one, Roy Styx, had refused to take sides. Roy didn't hide his dislike of Harkins. He never had. But he made it clear he would never challenge Harkins' leadership. That also left him with only 4 experienced members on the council. The 7 new members were less experienced than he would have preferred. 3 of them barely qualified when it came to magical ability, but they all had that most important of qualities. Loyalty. To him. Besides, it wasn't like he couldn't move some of them out for better choices after things settled down. Several of the less experienced had made it clear to him that they'd willingly stand aside if someone better came along.
"Gentlemen,"
Harkins said, as he looked around the table at everyone, quietly waiting there on his pleasure.
"With the recent unpleasantness now behind us, I'd like to return our attention to our most pressing problem, the capture of Sean Valens."
"I thought we wanted him dead," Roy mumbled from his seat, the 2nd one down on Harkins's right.
Harkins shook his head.
"After due consideration, I've decided to return to our original goal of capturing him, draining him of all the magical knowledge we can get our hands on, and after that, we'll dispose of whatever's left."
"What about our previous problems?"
Michael Sievers, the man seated across from Roy, asked. Harkins sighed heavily as he threw Rosen under the bus. Not that he didn't deserve it.
"I think I erred when I assigned the capture of Sean to Rosen. I hate to admit it, because he was a close and faithful friend. If I hadn't sent him on that task, I have no doubts that he would have been able to survive the attack at our coven house and would still be with us. So, with that in mind, I have decided to bring in some outside help."
"What?" Several of the council members, mostly the new ones, looked suitably upset.
"Now, now," Harkins motioned with both hands, waving them down. "It's not like we haven't done business with this particular person before. The last time we hired him, the results were exactly what we desired. I have no doubts that he will perform satisfactorily this time as well."
"You're hiring the hyena?"
James Roth, who now sat directly on Harkins's right side, asked. Harkins nodded.
"Yes. He dealt with Bernard Valens for us, as we had requested, and arranged for the gesh that the conclave put on Sean, and the oath from Mrs. Valens."
"Both of which have now been broken,"
Roy pointed out. Harkins nodded.
"Yes. And if Rosen hadn't failed in our first attempt, neither of those things would have mattered. That is, however, now water under the bridge. We've all heard the rumors about Roger's demise and what happened over at Gradatim. I think it's safe to say that Sean's attention will soon turn to us, if it hasn't already."
"Any idea as to just why it hasn't turned to us yet?"
Roy asked. Harkins nodded.
"Yes. He ended up with a lot of wolves after what happened at Roger's house, and there was some kind of falling out between him and the Alpha of the Western Pax. As we all know, the animals are not prone to cooperate with each other unless there is a strong hand forcing them."
"So he's still consolidating his hold?"
Roy asked.
"Apparently, yes.
Well then, by all means, Samuel. Harkins tried not to flinch at the use of his first name. I agree with your plan, and I second the proposal. Anybody opposed? Roy asked, looking around the table in a manner that made it clear what Roy thought of anyone who did. Harkins had to admit to being surprised by this strong show of support by Roy, of all people.
No,
everyone said, shaking their heads. Harkins smiled.
Thank you, Roy, and thank you, everyone. Now, on to other business, of which I dare say there is a lot we need to deal with. The first of which is this Sorceress Guild.
What's up with them? Dave Thompson asked.
Yes, what is our concern with them? Jerry Kenyon, who sat on Harkins's left, asked as well.
Simply put, Harkins said, looking around the table, we can't let what they did to Preston go unanswered.
I thought we were just using him and his people.
Harkins nodded slightly.
To an extent, that was true. And of course, now that he's gone, we've lost both him and his people as a resource. But I think it sets a bad precedent for the future, if we're not seen as taking some sort of action in response to what was done to him.
I don't know,
Dave spoke up again.
His troubles with the gals over at the guild he caused himself. It wasn't because of anything that involved us.
I think Samuel is right, Roy said, surprising Harkins once again. If we aren't seen punishing those who go against our allies, regardless of the reason, we look weak. Hell, this might even win us back the support of Totis Viribus. I second Samuel's motion. Anyone opposed? The motion carried with unanimous support, just as the previous one had.
Thank you all, Harkins said, smiling. Now, let us discuss just what we're going to do before moving on to our more mundane business.
2 hours later, when the meeting broke up, Harkins motioned to Roy as they were leaving the meeting room, and led him away from the others where they could speak privately.
You want to know why I took your side?
Roy said bluntly, as soon as the others were out of earshot. Harkins nodded.
Yes. Honestly, Roy, we've never gotten along, so I'm a bit puzzled by this turn of events.
Roy nodded.
Putting it bluntly, Samuel, we can't afford to look weak. Not with what happened to that bastard Roger and his group. I still can't believe Smith was stupid enough to try and push you out. None of these people seem to understand that if you're weak, we're all weak. Just because I don't like you doesn't mean I don't respect you. I've been doing a bit of investigating of my own, you see. I know that Morgan and his lot are just waiting for us to fail so he can sweep down and remove all of us that have stood against him. This is no time for us to be doing any infighting. It's time to pull together. That's why I stood with you today, to let everyone know that.
Thank you, Roy. I appreciate the loyalty.
It's not you I'm loyal to, Samuel.
Harkins chuckled.
And I appreciate that, as well as your honesty, even more. You're right. Troubled times lay ahead. Why don't you come over for dinner tomorrow night? I'm sure your grandchildren would love to see you.
Don't mind if I do, Samuel. I'm sure my daughter will also be pleased.
Harkins laughed at that. Roy and his daughter hadn't seen eye to eye on anything since she'd married Harkins.
I'll be sure to calm the waters first, Roy. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a phone call to make.
Roy nodded and walked off, leaving Harkins to head to his office. Opening the door and stepping inside, he nodded to the man sitting on the couch, smoking a cigar. The man appeared to be older, probably in his late 50s or early 60s. He wore a long dark overcoat and a black fedora hat, black silk trousers, black shoes, a very dark gray shirt with a black tie. He stood a few inches less than 6 feet, and didn't seem to be all that heavily built, but with the loose clothing he wore, you really couldn't tell.
Beyond that,
Harkins didn't really know all that much about Hyena. He'd hired him the last time based on recommendations from the council leader in Chicago, who had connections with the gangs back there. Hyena worked for a group known only as the Outfit, which apparently had once been part of the Chicago mobs back in the heyday of prohibition and organized crime. Now they were a much smaller and more expensive group that dealt solely in assassinations and other tricky jobs involving magic users or other supernatural beings.
"So I take it they went for it?"
Sal Weissman, who was only known to most people simply as Hyena, asked. Harkins nodded as he went over to sit behind his desk.
"There was never any doubt in my mind," Harkins smiled back at Sal. "Everyone knows what we stand to lose if we don't deal with this problem now. We also understand what we may gain if we can get Sean to reveal his secrets to us."
"I'm still surprised that the kid took up magic. I thought the gesh that the local conclave put on him was supposed to prevent that."
Harkins shrugged.
"We don't really know what happened. Not yet, anyway, which makes it all the more important that we get our hands on him. That he suddenly was practicing magic at a master level shows that he must have been studying it for quite some time. I can only guess that the gesh was broken long ago by some third party, and we just didn't discover it until those gang members from Lithuania tried to grab him."
Harkins wasn't worried about Hyena discovering the truth behind his lie. None of the councils were apt to talk to each other about what happened in the last conclave meeting, much less so with an outsider.
"It is true that he's a lion wearer now?"
"Yes. We suspect that his mother's friend bit him after the failed kidnapping attempt, as he was dying."
"I'm surprised by that," Sal mused.
"Why?" Harkins asked, curious.
"It's almost unheard of for lions to infect someone with their brand of lycanthropy."
Harkins gave a small shake of his head.
"I honestly don't know anything about lions or their particular version of lycanthropy, nor do I really care. The myths and stories the lycans tell about each other are just that, myths and stories."
Sal laughed.
"Not unlike the myths and stories told about mages, perhaps?"
Harkins snorted.
"There's a difference."
"And what would that difference be?"
Sal asked with a raised eyebrow.
"We're the ones in power."
Sorceress Guild.
"Hi, Roberta,"
Sean said, walking up to the gate in his hybrid form with Roxy, Jolene, and Dalen following along.
"Sean, where have you been hiding yourself? It's been what, 2 weeks?"
Roberta said, giving him a look that made it clear to him that she wasn't exactly happy.
"I'm sorry. I'll explain everything. I've been busy. Could we please come in?"
"Well, I don't know. I mean, you haven't even called,"
Roberta said, standing there, hands on her hips.
"I don't have your number. Just give me the damn collar already," Sean grumbled. "If I didn't care, I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be pregnant. I missed you. A lot. Now can I come in and spend time with you? Please."
Roberta
started, when Jolene interrupted.
"Roberta, you should know better than to tease lions. Sean's been stressed enough already this last week." "Why's that?"
"Because I've got 100 wolves now to take care of," Sean grumbled. "They all decided that they wanted to follow me, and honestly," Sean spread his hands, "I need the help. But at least we have a nice place downtown with lots of rooms."
"Then why are you here, if you have a nice place downtown?"
"Because you're here. I love you too, you know," Sean growled, tail lashing in annoyance.
Roberta smiled, and pulling the collar out from inside her robes, she tossed it at him.
"I just wanted to hear you say it. Several times. Maybe on your knees later, too, just to be sure."
Sean grumbled, but put the collar on, and they all stepped inside as she opened the gate.
"You know he's just going to make you pay for it later,"
Roxy snickered to Roberta.
"That's half the fun,"
Roberta replied with a wink. As soon as the gate closed,
Sean smiled, and turning to Roberta, he grabbed her and pulled her close, bending down to kiss her. He didn't stop until she started to push back against him several minutes later.
"Okay, okay," she laughed. "I get it. You missed me." "I missed you, too," she admitted.
"Let's go back to your room and we can all get caught up."
"I'm supposed to be on duty, Sean."
"What? You don't get time off. You're a boss. Get someone to fill in for you."
"Well, I guess I can. It has been a while,"
Roberta said with a smirk. "Joyce, call up Hannah and tell her she's on watch tonight with you."
"Yes, Roberta."
"Now, let's go to my room, and you can all tell me what's been keeping Sean here so busy."
"In the morning," Sean grinned.
"Why not now?"
"Because I have other things on my mind than talking right now. It has been 2 weeks, after all."
Roberta laughed.
"Surely you don't expect me to believe that they..."
Roberta waved to the other girls as they walked.
"Haven't been taking care of you."
"Oh, they have," Sean agreed, pulling Roberta up against him as they walked. "But you haven't."
"What's that supposed to mean?"
"It means,"
Jolene chuckled,
"that you're not going to be getting much sleep tonight."
"Oh," Sean said with a yawn as he finished explaining things to Roberta the next morning. "That's where things stand right now. And I was hoping to borrow one of your workrooms while I'm here to start work on my device."
Roberta nodded. They were all sitting around the table in her small kitchen. Roxy and Dalen had actually volunteered to make breakfast, and right now Jolene was talking with Roberta's daughter, Sarah, as she ate.
"I can tell you," Roberta said, "that Deanna is going to want some of those necklaces and tags for our lichens."
"Your lichens?" Sean raised an eyebrow.
Roberta nodded.
"Not everyone here is just passing through. Some of them have made serious commitments with the sorceress that they live with. If things are going to get nasty around here, Deanna's going to want to get them protected."
Sean thought about that a moment, but he really couldn't see the harm in it.
"Sure, I can do that," he told her. "It's not like anyone here is being held against their will. That's all I want, is for lichens to be free to choose."
"Then I don't think there'll be any kind of problem. What do you need to do your work?"
"One minute."
Sean got up and went and found his pants, then got the list that was folded up in his pants pocket. Enchanting did take a few tools, and there were actually quite a few items that surprisingly made it easier. Some of them were common, like kosher salt, charcoal, and various crystals. Others were less so, like the gold the plate was made from, other metals, and some semi-precious stones. He'd brought the more expensive items with him.
"Here's the list," Sean said, and passed it over to her.
Roberta looked it over briefly.
"I'll talk to Karen, the woman in charge of the workshops. Most of this looks pretty common, but I'm not really an enchanter, and other than you, there aren't any high-level enchanters here."
"Really? Where do you get your items from?"
"We buy them, mostly from out of state. But there's Gus Hampton, who lives up near Incline Village. He's not cheap, but he'll make us stuff if we pay for it."
Sean nodded.
"Well, once I get this all done, maybe I can help you all out with a few things."
Roberta smiled.
"Deanna will love you if you do that."
"Well, I might as well get started. Let me get my things, and we can go talk to Karen, and then I can get to work."
"Are you going to need us to get anything for you, hon?"
Roxy asked.
Sean shook his head. "This is pretty much a one-man job. There really isn't anything any of you can help me with. For the most part, I'm just going to be studying and casting all day."
"It takes that much time?"
"When you're new at it like me?" Sean nodded. "At least if I screw up, I can just wipe the plate clean. Misenchanting usually doesn't destroy the item."
Roxy nodded.
"Okay. We'll see you later, then."
Sean gathered up his things and then went and saw Karen. She did have the things he needed, and he'd be using the same workroom as last time. The workrooms didn't see a lot of use at the guild, so Sean would be undisturbed. Setting everything down on the workbench, he gave Roberta a hug and a kiss. And then, sitting down, he opened up his stats program and took a look at things.
His physical stats hadn't changed in the last 2 weeks. He wasn't really surprised at that. It did seem like his body had finally stopped growing and adapting to his lion abilities. His mental stats also had started to level off, though he still had 2 points left, which he just plugged straight into memory. If he understood what he had read properly, his wisdom would continue to increase with age, maybe his intelligence as well. But unless he ran into something seriously different in his life, he shouldn't expect to see too many changes there. You had to be learning new things to improve, and after all the new things he'd just learned, Sean wasn't looking for any more challenges for at least a while. His magical stats, however, those were still changing. With all the enchanting he'd been doing for the last 2 weeks, making collars, wands, defensive amulets, and anti-scrying amulets, his ability had gone up considerably. Once again, he was able to raise his mana level several times, but the price cost was doubling each level now, so he was starting to hit a wall on that. He put most of the remaining points into willpower, figuring that with all of the concentrating and focusing he was going to be doing the next few weeks, that he'd need it. That left him with spells. Again, all of the studying and enchanting he'd been doing, well, maybe not the unpacking of the tar balls, that was kind of cheating, but the rest of it had increased the amount of points he could spend on learning the new spells. Sean had been reading and rereading so much of this stuff, all he really needed to do now was spend those points to anchor the concepts and the spells that came with them in his mind. He ignored any combat spells or protection spells. He concentrated completely on the enchanting spells. Once he had things well underway on the gold plate, he'd spend a little time enchanting a bunch of protection spells on some items for him. The girls all had several nicely enchanted rings now, which would protect them from a multitude of spells. He just needed to make some for himself. So far, everything he'd been enchanting, either for defense or offense, had gone either to the girls or to the wolves back at their base. He'd have to make a few things for Roberta, too, come to think about it. Exiting his stats program, Sean turned towards his notes, and opening up his father's book, he went to work.
"Okay, so where to, girls?"
Roxy asked as they drove off from the guild.
"I need to stop in to check on some of the production orders,"
Dalen said from the driver's seat.
"But that really shouldn't take more than 20 or 30 minutes.
Roxy nodded.
"You, Joe?"
Jolene smiled.
"I know of this really nice spa in Carson City, and as long as we're going to be there anyways."
She trailed off with a smile.
"A spa?"
Roxy blinked.
"Why do you want to go to a spa?"
"Oh, come on, Rox,"
Jolene grinned.
"When was the last time we had a day to ourselves? One where we didn't have to deal with Sawyer or talk to other people about what's going on? Where we weren't helping Oak and the wolves for Sean as they got settled in? Where we weren't dealing with dwarven contractors and production contracts?"
Dalen laughed.
"She's got a point, Rox. We've been running around busting our asses as much as Sean has, so he can stay focused."
"Well,"
Roxy sighed.
"Maybe. But I feel a little guilty taking the day off when we left him back there working."
Dalen snorted.
"This from the woman who busts her ass harder than any of us, making sure that Sean and the rest of us are taken care of? You've earned a little time off, Rox."
"She's right," Jolene agreed. "Besides which, even Sean would tell you to take a break, and you know it."
Roxy sighed.
"Okay, okay. The spa it is."
"And maybe a little shopping afterwards?"
Jolene teased.
"Well, promise to stop by a gun store and I'm there,"
Roxy replied with a laugh. When Roxy got back to the guild, the first thing she did was go down to the workshop to check on Sean, who was curled up on the floor in his full lion form, sound asleep.
"Ahem,"
Roxy cleared her throat. Sean opened an eye and looked at her.
"Hi,"
he said, and then sitting up slowly, he yawned widely, then stretched as he slowly stood up on all fours.
"When's dinner?"
"Now, I think. I thought I'd find you hard at work, and here I find you sleeping like a lazy lion,"
Roxy giggled.
"After being up all night, When I finished for the day, I figured I'd take a nap.
And whose fault is that?
Roxy asked, and, adding.
Well, it can't be mine,
Sean said and grinned at her while tilting his head to the side.
It's never the lion's fault.
Sure. Well, come on and follow me to the dining room or mess hall or whatever they call it here.
Sean nodded, and padding over, he fell into step beside her.
Oh, hon, I've been meaning to ask you something. My lion still talks to me.
Roxy shrugged.
My cheetah does too, sometimes. Mostly it's about things my human mind misses, but my animal mind picks up.
Sean shook his massive head.
No, I mean like he's a different person. Sometimes we still talk like when I first got him, but it's different now.
Different how?
Well, it's like he wakes up sometimes and decides I need to know something, like when he told me not to bite Chad but suggested Oak do it. It wasn't something I just knew. I had to be told.
Roxy shrugged.
Considering that everyone talks about how lions won't change just anyone, I don't see that as being all that strange.
I don't know what he said to Michael in that meeting,
Sean sighed.
He told me I fell asleep, and that's why I don't remember any of what he said.
Roxy stopped, causing him to stop as well, and looked down at him.
Have you asked him?
He keeps avoiding the details, and I've been afraid to push it, actually,
Sean confessed.
I need him too much to piss him off.
Why would that piss him off?
Roxy asked, a little concerned now.
Because if he refuses to tell me, I'm going to have one hell of an argument with myself, and I don't think it'll end well, regardless of the outcome. I don't want to lose my hybrid form because I'm all pissy in my other half.
You remember how it felt mentally when you first willingly shifted to your lion form, that night when we were sneaking back home?
Sean nodded.
Yeah, I felt like I was in the back seat.
I want you to try and hop back into that back seat again, Sean.
Why?
I want to talk to your lion.
Sean blinked. He could feel his lion quite readily. For all that they were fairly well integrated now, in this form, Sean knew that his lion side was the dominant side. It was his lion that was really in charge now. Slipping back, as it were, Sean pulled his conscious will away from what he was doing, leaving his lion fully in charge.
Yes?
Sean's lion asked, looking up at Roxy. Roxy dropped down to her knees, putting her eyes on a level with his.
What is going on with the two of you? That Sean is afraid you won't tell him the truth?
I never said I wouldn't tell him what happened.
But he's afraid you will. Why is that?
I can't say.
Can not or will not?
Roxy asked slowly. Sean's lion blinked and then smiled.
You are a sharp one, hon, aren't you?
Roxy smiled back.
How do you think I snagged you?
I seem to recall Sean doing a bunch of snagging in your room that first night.
And you seem to forget that I tracked him down and dragged him back there. Now, Sean may still be new to this, but I'm not. You're mine now, and I'm yours. I want answers.
Oh? And if I don't give you any?
If you think having one bitchy wife giving you the cold shoulder is bad, wait until all four of them are doing it,
Roxy said, still smiling sweetly.
We're mates now. You have an obligation, and the simple fact that we're even having this conversation tells me that something is quite wrong.
Sean's lion sighed.
Nothing is wrong. This is normal.
How is this normal?
It's just another way that lions are different.
Oh, joy,
Roxy snorted.
Then please enlighten your mate as well as your human side, before he has a nervous breakdown and you don't get laid tonight.
Oh, bringing out the big guns.
Just wait till I start crying, Roxy warned. Lion or not, trust me when I say you don't want to go there.
Okay, okay. No need to be so cruel.
Sean's lion snorted.
I'll tell Sean eventually, when we've been together longer. There's a number of reasons why there aren't all that many of us. The change did more to Sean than just create a beast's mind within his self.
Sean's lion paused a moment.
I don't know how to best put this, because right now anything I say to you, I say to him. So I'll just say it like this. If I expose all that I am to Sean now, before he's fully ready to deal with it, it would hurt him.
Hurt him how?
I might end up the dominant psyche in his mind, instead of him being the dominant one.
How is that possible? You're him and he's you.
I can't say any more.
Sean would have shaken his head if it had been his to shake at that point.
You're hiding something from me, aren't you?
Yes.
Sean could feel the regret in that answer.
But you're going to tell me eventually, right?
Yes.
And just when will that be?
When the time is right. I trust you. Do you trust me?
What are you trusting me with?
Sean asked, confused. As far as he knew, he wasn't the one hiding anything.
I'm trusting you to do what needs to be done. I have the power to force myself on you, but I trust in the forces that brought us together, and I trust in you.
Sean capitulated.
I trust you.
He did trust his lion, and as long as he would find out just what was going on, he'd just have to put his faith in him as well.
Thank you, his lion sent.
What's going on in there?
Roxy asked.
We were having a conversation, Sean's lion told her. He's okay with waiting.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this,
Roxy sighed, standing back up.
We are all still finding our way in all of this,
Sean's lion sighed, then shook his head as he realized that Sean wasn't pushing to take back the driver's seat.
What?
Roxy asked, looking down at him.
As long as we're in this together,
Sean told him with a mental smile, I think it's only fair you get to spend some time with the wives.
But I spend just as much time with them as you do.
Seeing is not doing. Tonight, you're doing.
Sean's lion chuckled.
Sean wants me to spend the evening with all of you, with him in the back seat for a change.
Roxy shrugged.
Works for me. I love you both. Don't know how the others are going to react to you being a lion for the whole evening.
Then maybe they need to get used to it.
Roxy laughed.
Sean said that, didn't he?
Actually, we both did.
Roxy watched Sean with interest as they walked back to the dining area. Sean didn't switch back to his hybrid form, instead just staying in his full lion form. Interestingly enough, Roberta was perfectly fine with it, and no one else in the guild really seemed to care either. Though Roxy did notice Sean getting a few appraising looks from some of the other women in the room. Of course, they all had to help feed Sean, seeing as he really couldn't use any silverware, and the idea of him sticking his face into the food on his plate to eat seemed to be a messy proposition at best. When they got back to Roberta's apartment, however, is when things got interesting. Sarah mobbed him almost immediately, showing no fear at all, which made it clear to her that Samson had also spent time here in his full lion form. But that wasn't the most interesting thing that went on, as far as Roxy was concerned. It was Sean, or rather, Sean's lion. That minor in psychology that Roxy had been pursuing as part of her major in game design clued her into it almost immediately. Sean's lion wasn't Sean. Oh, they all had their differences between themselves and their beast, which was understood. But Roxy was used to seeing that. Sean had been full lion around her enough since the beginning that she saw the process firsthand as he had integrated into one person.
Usually, when he went full lion now, the differences between Lion Sean and human or hybrid Sean weren't all that great. Now, they were. Oh, she didn't think any of the others were really noticing, but it was there. Lion Sean was a lot more playful than usual, and a lot more engaging in conversations. Talking in beast form was a pain. Usually you shifted if you were going to do a lot of it.
Penny for your thoughts?
Lion Sean asked her later, as the others were getting ready for bed.
You're more different than you should be.
Sean's head ducked in a nod, causing his mane to shake.
When does Sean get to come back out?
Roxy asked, just a little worried.
When he stops refusing to, Lion Sean said with a grin. He's been coaching me a little. It has been a long time since I've been left to my own devices in a family setting. It's so much more enjoyable than I'd remembered.
Remembered? You shouldn't?
Sean held up a paw.
I've said too much, and Sean wants me to tell you to leave it. We can talk about it later.
Roxy sighed and nodded. It could wait. Sean opened his eyes. He was in his lion form, but that didn't surprise him, seeing as he'd gone to sleep that way. Looking around, however, he saw that he was back in that clearing again, the one from his dream about the past. Getting up and stretching, he looked around. Things were different. There was snow on the ground. The clearing looked older, somehow. The pride wasn't there either. Just another lion, which was sitting next to him, waiting. His other half, his other side, his lion. Only he really wasn't.
You're not really me, are you?
Sean asked, looking at him.
Walk with me,
the other lion said to him, standing up on all fours and padding off slowly. Sean didn't hesitate, and padded over to walk alongside the other lion.
Where are we going?
Sean asked as they walked together into the woods.
The others have all left, going off to seek their own place in the world. We'd discovered that we can create others like us, but not quite like us. Our children, they have the same gifts, the same abilities. But those animals we bite, that survive our fights, they become were-creatures like us. But they are wild, feral. They have to be reined in, captured, dominated, enslaved, trained. They don't really have the ability to become more than they are, and what they are now is barely much more than an animal that can take human form. They are all beast with no reason.
Sean watched as they came to a small village, if you could even call it that. There were a handful of crudely built huts, grouped around what looked to be a small fire pit that had someone tending to it.
We had been dealing with invaders to our lands, invaders that understood the use of spears and fire and other things. Things which could hurt us, and maybe even kill us. Unlike the other animals over whom we reigned supreme.
As Sean watched, a pack of wolves, being urged on by a lion, crept up on the village.
It was during these raids that we discovered that our charges could do the one thing we could not.
The wolves and the lion broke from the cover and attacked the village. It was vicious and it was savage, the wolves turning into humans, but acting as wild as they would have as wolves. Sean had to look away. It was more than he could bear to watch. But when he looked back, after things had calmed down, he saw that all the men of the village were dead. Only the females were left alive.
Our lichens could bite humans and infect them with our condition, whereas any human we had ever bit ourselves died, the lion continued. The humans who were thus turned, they were more than just a wild animal. They had reason. They knew language. They could speak. They could think for themselves. And they could be ruled.
As Sean watched, the survivors were all gathered in one area, while the attackers celebrated their victory. several engaging in the kinds of things that victors had been known to do for thousands of years. When they finally settled down to sleep, the one standing guard shifted into the form of a lion, which then went around and killed all of the original wolves and removed them from the village.
"And so," the lion said, "we disposed of the first generation, who were only ruled by strength and fear, and bred the next one."
Sean turned and looked at the lion. "That's pretty damn cold," he nodded.
"Perhaps, but survival is without mercy. We were young. We only knew that the strong survive and do as they please, while the weak die and fill your belly. Modern man and the Neanderthal still roamed the land together, competing for survival during this time. I've often wondered if we were the deciding factor in man's evolution. We couldn't infect the Neanderthals, so we killed them off. They were competing with our children, after all."
"Your children?" Sean asked, surprised.
"We discovered that not only were these second-generation lichens more intelligent, we discovered we could breed with them as well," the lion told him. "So, being lions, we did."
"You're not me, are you?" Sean asked, repeating his earlier question.
"Yes and no," the lion said, turning towards him. "You have your beast, like any other lichen. But you also have me."
The other lion turned and gestured with his head towards the lion in the village. More time had passed. The lion wear was living with the surviving women, all of whom were either with child or nursing babies. "That's you?" Sean asked. The lion nodded.
"Yes, that's me. The others did the same, and over the centuries that followed, we roamed the world, settling where we pleased and repeating the scene below, creating more and different breeds of lycanthropes as we did."
"So, if I were to bite an animal, I could infect it?" Sean asked slowly. The other lion shook his head.
"That ability died out when our original bodies died as well. Whatever it was that changed us, that allowed us to change others, was stable in them."
The lion nodded towards the village, and Sean could see it had changed again. Now there were wolves, people, and even hybrids existing alongside in a larger and nicer village.
"All of the lichens that exist are descended from one of us. I was partial to wolves," the lion chuckled. "And even foxes. So most of the wolves here in Reno are descended from me. And yes, Sheila as well. So while all lichens will feel a connection to you, those that are actually descended from me will feel it much more strongly."
"So what happened with Michael?"
"Michael had pulled away from his beast. He was trying to be a man. As the leader of the pack, he had allowed himself to be swayed more by human things than is good for one of my children's nature. So I took his wolf away for a while and sent him away to contemplate his sins. If he realizes the errors of his way, the way of forsaking that which is most basic to his being, he will live."
"And if he doesn't?"
"He will die," the lion said.
"Harsh." The other lion shrugged.
"Life is harsh, Sean. Look at what you are now dealing with, what we're now dealing with. Our creating the lichen race was based in harsh methods. You've seen what I did. The others did the same. It was us deciding that we were gods and acting accordingly. We took no responsibility for our children. We bore them, and then we moved on to find another place to create some more. Biology at its most basic. We survived, and we bred. It wasn't until many tens of thousands of years later, until we learned the folly of our ways."
"And you paid your price?" Sean replied,
because wasn't that the way those stories always went? The other lion laughed.
No. We existed long before the concept of morals entered the world. But we did see that our posterity, our children, was doomed to extinction if we didn't act to change what we had done. So we, being who we are, fixed things. But that's another story for another time.
Sean nodded. There was a lot to think about there. I have one more question.
Yes?
What is your name? The other lion laughed.
I've had so many names that I've forgotten most of them.
Yeah, but what do I call you?
Call me Sean. Or people are going to start thinking you're crazier than they already do when they catch you talking to yourself.
The other lion said with a smile. But you said you're not me? Sean said, confused.
I said I both am and am not you. We're still integrating, the two of us.
I'm not sure I like the sound of that, Sean admitted.
And that's why I've waited until now to tell you about me. There once was a time when I would have just crushed your psyche and taken over, and made you me. I've learned, however, that doing so is a mistake. And no, not because I have any ethics or morals. It's wrong because I need you. My children need you. You. They need Sean, not me. You're the one that's going to solve this current problem. I'm here to guide you, support you. And yes, the other lion laughed. Do that mystical shit you keep referring to.
Sean released the breath he'd been holding and sighed. Well, that's a relief. Finding out I have someone else living in my head isn't exactly comforting.
I know, and that's why I've been waiting to tell you this. If it hadn't been for yours and Rox's concerns for your sanity, I would have waited longer. Good night, Sean.
Wait, what about that whole extinction thing?
That's a lesson for another night. Go to sleep.
Sean grumbled, but he went to sleep.
Hyena Days. When Sal had left Harkin's company, he'd gone back to his hotel room and immediately started a search on Sean Valens using his computer. Unlike a lot of the other people in the supernatural world, Sal had made a point of keeping up with technology. The only reason he hadn't done it before now was simply that he didn't do anything on a job until he'd been contracted. It was more challenging to find out what lies they told him after agreeing to his terms than before. It didn't take him long to find Sean Valens's Facebook page, and reading it, he had to smile. Sean's page was being updated regularly with updates on the game that Sean was playing. A game that was all too close to the reality that Sal knew Sean was now facing. Only the one he was talking about was in a medieval world as part of a tabletop game. Then there was the GoFundMe page that Sean had set up to raise money to try and bring his epic fantasy to life as a printed book. Sal snorted. This kid wasn't stupid. He was raising money right under the mages' noses, and they didn't even know it. From the amount of supporters Sean was starting to get, however, it appeared that the Lycan community in general was starting to figure out that something was going on. But that also meant that if Sal just went around asking questions about Sean, it would probably get back to him, and considering that the kid was now both a magic user and a lion, the last thing Sal wanted him to know was that someone was gunning for him. Sal stopped and briefly considered the situation. 12 years ago, he'd popped the kid's father for what he realized later was far too little money, considering the fallout that the affair had generated. Here it was 12 years later, and now he was going after the son. A lot of promises and several solemn oaths had been made that day 12 years ago, and apparently someone hadn't been keeping theirs. The only question was, who?
Sal worried about people's oaths. In his line of work, they were sometimes worth more than cash. He'd have to go make the rounds of the local newspapers, see if there were any weak links among the police forces. He needed to get an idea of what just had been going on, and just what people knew about Sean. Unlike his father, he wasn't going to be easy to find. The kid was obviously in hiding, and again, unlike his father, the kid wasn't afraid to kill. Fortunately, he had a few contacts living here, friends and friends of friends, as it were. He'd reach out to one of them tonight, and see if they could set him on the right path. Sal walked into the bar and looked around. The place looked like a 60s bordello. Pure retro. Only in the case of this place, Sal suspected it was more a case of the owner just being too cheap to remodel.
Hey, Sal said to the bartender as he walked up to him. Is Tony C here?
Mr. C? The bartender asked, looking Sal over.
Why? Tell him Sal from Chicago wants to buy him a drink.
Why would he want a free drink? The bartender asked, confused. He owns the place.
Just tell him, wise guy.
Sal sighed. The bartender shrugged and went over to the house phone and picked it up. 10 minutes later, Sal was sitting in a corner booth with Tony, sipping a cocktail.
So, what brings you here?
Tony asked.
Work, Sal told him.
Not me or anybody I know, I hope,
Tony asked. Sal shook his head.
Nah, looking for a kid. Apparently he's angered some people, and they want to get their hands on him.
Doesn't sound healthy for the kid,
Tony chuckled.
Nah, it won't be, I'm sure.
Ain't it a bit of overkill having you come out here to deal with some small problem?
Sal shook his head.
This kid ain't a small problem. He's going to be one tough nugget. He's already gone to ground, and he's got resources. If I start asking the wrong people about him, he's going to hear about it. And I don't want him to see me coming. They want him alive.
Tony nodded.
So, what do you need from me?
Any cops I can bribe for information? Same for reporters, any coven members who don't keep their mouths shut about coven business. Maybe even some Lycan staff members who like to wag their tongues.
Yeah, I can get you a list of all those. The rumor mill is pretty strong here in Reno, and lately there's been some unrest with the local Lycans from what I've been hearing.
Oh? What's got them riled?
Who knows? Somebody is always pissed about something. Ain't that always the way of it, Sal?
Sal laughed. I wouldn't be working so much if it wasn't.
So, got a name on this target?
Sal nodded. Sean Valens.
What?
Tony said, looking shocked.
What the hell did he do?
Sal started a bit, looking at Tony in surprise.
You know the kid?
Yeah. He worked for me like 5 years ago as a busboy. Hard-working kid. Always asking for more work or overtime. Broke as fuck. Real hard luck case. No father and no money. Just him and his mom living in an old single wire. What the hell did he do? I can't picture him as the kind to cause problems for anybody. Always kept his head down and stayed out of trouble.
Any idea where I can find him?
I'm sure I still have his home address and phone number. Come on up to the office and I'll give it to you, along with those other names.
Tony got up.
So what did he do?
Magic user politics, Sal sighed.
Sean, magic user.
Tony laughed.
That kid was completely blind to the supernatural, didn't know a thing about it. Sure you got the right kid?
How blind is blind? Sal asked, following Tony.
Totally. Anything magical that happened, kid couldn't see it. Had a couple of the fae in here once, some fairies from up north. Kid couldn't even see them.
Well, that's interesting. 5 years ago?
About that?
Tony nodded, and leading him into the office, he logged into his desktop and gave Sal his address. Then wrote down a list of names with contact information for Sal's other needs.
You know, Sal,
Tony said.
He was a nice kid, Kind of sad to hear that he got himself mixed up in something bad.
It always is,